I wanna be the best in the game, invest in my name. Check no restraints, I'm obsessed with the pain. I ingest, I retain, assess and I change. Possessed by the thought I'll be free one day from society's restraints. Money, clout and fame, a disease, a plague. We all love to hate, have to play the game, have to make a name. All our insecurities are on display.
This is war with the enemy. Think that it was meant to be. Living in a
town. Welcome everyone to another episode of Tactical Awareness. It's season 1, episode 27. We are working through a new faction breakdown. That's it. We're starting Yu Qing. Dan's finally received delivery of most of what he earned from a company in Quebec. And he is getting ready to start doing some painting and trying out a new faction. So we're going to do it the same format, sort of like order-wise, as our previous faction breakdowns. We're going to go newest to oldest sectorial and then the prime faction. But we're going to do a slightly different technique for breaking down units themselves, focusing on their key features and benefits. So let's catch up with Owen and Dan, and we'll get this going. What a week we've all had. It's incredible. But you guys don't get to hear about it. Instead, you get to hear about White Banner and all the fun, exciting things that's coming from that. And on top of hearing about that, you get to hear some listener mailbag questions, because that's what we're doing today.
We have questions.
With questions, we're gonna answer questions about us and about Infinity, which is great. But first, let's talk about our weeks and what we did in the hobby. I'm gonna go first for once, because usually I make you guys go first. Today I'm not gonna do that. I'm gonna actually go first because I played a game yesterday, and game I played was Onyx Contact Force against...
It was Infinity.
Corregidor. It was yesterday. No, we played Frostbite. And I hadn't played Frostbite in a while, and I forgot how much I liked it. Now, Frostbite, for those of you who haven't played it, it's like a modified Super Savage version of Frontline, where only the central zone is scored at the end of the game. And it's also got army kills in the scoring. So it's 2 for army kills, 3 for points, and you have 2 heating units and 3 consoles across the middle. Now, the consoles can be activated each turn on one of your heating units, and the heating units can be destroyed. They have the AC2 defense system and only destroyed in melee with anti-material weapons. An active heating unit will keep the dead zone, which is the 4-inch strip between the deployment zone and the central zone, heated, or your deployment zone strip heated. And if they're not heated at the end of the game, either because you didn't activate the console or because the heating unit was destroyed in melee by the enemy, then everything in those zones that's not heavy infantry dies because the killer cold creeps in. And it was a lot of fun because we're playing Onyx Contact Force against Corregidor. I set up like a moon mat so that it looked like it was some kind of lunar installation or like asteroid installation. And the scenario really felt very like narrative, because it was like they'd cracked the dome, basically invading, and the cold was creeping in and the humans were trying to like repulse the aliens. It was a lot of fun. Jordan brought his Zeodron Harris with, what's his name? Not Norkius, the other guy. You probably know this.
I play Shazvasti.
I know, but this guy's I think he's in Shazvasti too. I might be wrong. His name is Norkius. Yeah, Norkius. The Protheon guy, who's super cool. You can Harris him with the Zeodrons. And he also took the Overdrawn overwatching me with the Gator. And I used my list from the tournaments that I went to a few weeks ago, the Toronto tournament that I went to, with McMurrow, the Gator, duoed with a Wildcat, lots of bots. I had a 4-man link with Wolfgang Amadeus, a single Aguaseal Lieutenant, Jazz, so that she get the Sixth Sense, and a Dactaris. So you have like an Aguaseal link, basically. And it was a lot of fun. And then my double Morans in the middle. So it was a bit harder to use the list than normal because there's an exclusion zone across the middle, right? Because you can't start inside the heated zone, the objective scoring zone at the start of the game. And you can't start in contact with the consoles or the heating units. And it meant that I got first turn, but I had to like push forward and then use my crazy koalas to kind of seed the area and protect the consoles. And overall it went really well. The Gator engaged the Overdrawn and just obliterated it in the first turn. He was really feeling the bioimmunity change, because all of a sudden being able to like get affected by the multi-HMG AP rounds And just like the general, like even just like multi rifles and stuff like that for Massacre, like the Templar close combat weapon on McMurro, meant the Zeodrons and the Overtron just couldn't hold the line the way they could previously, because dipping down to armor 3 from armor 6 or 5 was like a big difference, especially against that damage 16 multi HMG on the Gator. And so he died in the end, but he managed to hold the field and defeat all three tags. And it was just, it was an uphill battle after the tags were down for the Onyx to push through. So I ended up winning 6-2, I think, overall. I got one of my classifieds, I got more army points, and I held the middle at the end of the game. But it was really fun. It was a cool narrative mission, and I really like Frostbite. I hadn't played Frostbite in a long time, and I'd consider putting Frostbite in one of the events we do, because it's just like a fun kind of tactical multi-layered version of Frontline. It's like Frontline with a bunch of extra like moving pieces. So really enjoyed it. It was a good game. What about you guys?
I painted Space Marines.
You sure did. Another week of painting Imperial Fists. Unless you got a lot of them done.
This is my week of like, I work the weekend, and so I don't do much Infinity stuff.
That's fair. Yeah, if you're not available. If you're not going to Center Box to play games.
Yep.
I also painted Space Marines. I painted an entire All Terrain Army this week. So yes, I also painted the Leviathan box.
Imperial Fists.
Yeah, Imperial Fists.
I got more. I got more coming. Welcome to Infinity. 40K edition.
Hey, every once in, it's every 3 years, we got to see if we're going to take the old gal back, right? And give the relationship another go. And after 6 months, we'll get bored and go back to Infinity like we always do.
We have models in stock.
Yeah.
That's so weird. What a thing to say.
Crazy.
Did you see that?
I did see that post. Yeah. I think that's regionally problematic.
Do you have models in stock?
Well, because like you guys in particular, like we can get models in stock here in Ontario, but you guys have been struggling to get models in stock out west.
Yeah, we just got we got Bakunin in, but like we just got the Atreides in, like big guy.
Agamemnon,
and like
yeah.
All of those all at once. But like the Shakush came out like months ago.
It came out before the Bakunin stuff,
that's for sure. And we got them all at the same time. So it's like, yeah, I guess kind of, but I have to order them from Spain. And I'm not going to do that because it's,
gotcha.
It's prohibitively expensive.
Yeah. I mean, that's the same argument though for people in Europe ordering stuff from North America. That's just becoming a problem all over. It's something we're going to have to figure out, I think, as an industry, is how does that get fixed? Because either drop shipping, printing on site and boxing it locally, like, there's gonna have to be some kind of solution to that, because shipping is just now kind of unfeasible, especially for smaller companies, right?
Yep.
And you look at the shipping costs. I looked at some merch for Kat. She's into this YouTuber called Froggy Crossing. It's like an Animal Crossing YouTuber she's obsessed with. And every once in a while she'll do like a merch drop, you know what I mean? Like it's like a week of like you can get this t-shirt or this mug or whatever. And she wanted to get the most recent one because I got her one for Christmas. And just between Christmas and now, to get like a $25 US t-shirt, a $10 mug, and a $5 sticker. Like, first of all, the exchange, of course, is garbage, right? So like I'm getting, that's like $75 for $50 worth of stuff. But then on top of that, it was like another $65 US shipping. So it was gonna be like $150 to get less than $50 worth of this like YouTube merch. I just looked at it and I was like, there's no way. Like, I'm sorry, I'm not doing it. I just can't. I will not do that. It's wild. Yeah,
it's pretty bad. It's pretty bad.
Oh, what about you, Dan? You printed stuff?
I printed a bunch of more kind of proxies for Rishis and what's the other one that has the holo projector? The I don't know. Lots of tags.
Ludan?
So I can have fun. The Ludwan, yeah.
Ludwan, yeah.
So I have 6 Ludwans and I have 8 Rishis.
That seems like way too many, first of all.
Look. Hear me out.
I think you can have 2 of each in most of these factions.
That's what I'm saying. So if you bring 2 Ludwans, they have holo projector and
holo. Oh, I see. You're going to make your holo echoes. That's why you're doing this. That's right. Okay, I got it. You're making tokens, basically.
And then you bring 2 Rishis, and then you bring 8 actual they're proxy models, but similar looking models.
You get, and you're playing a shell game. You don't know who's who. You don't know who's the actual Rishis and who the other Rishis are. That's smart. I like that actually. Yeah, yeah. You're printing tokens basically. That's cool.
Is it MK12 multi-spectre advisor level 1? with a heavy flamethrower, or is a multi-spectre level 2 with a Spitfire?
Right.
It could be anything.
It could be anything. That's funny. Did you get any more of your stuff? Did you get your, because you returned that action pack and you want to get the collector's box and stuff showed up yet?
Back. They just emailed me saying they got the action pack back, and I just emailed them back saying, let me know when the other boxes. Basically, what I'm still waiting for is
the collector's box.
The main collector's box, which has like 26 models in it.
Right, which is the bulk of what you're painting, yeah.
The bulk. And then I think it's like some like Quang Chi and the other guys in the Invincible Army that are pretty good to start with the K. I don't know names. Let me look the. Oh, and here I thought I was going to see some Zuyong. It's not a K, it's a Z. I need some Zuyongs. And then there was something else. But anyways, it's mainly just that main box that I'm waiting on.
Mm-hmm. So that's like the bulk of like the meat and potato stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, gotcha.
And then we'll slowly add stuff as I experiment with more lists. But right now, I've been looking at White Banner and seeing like what I can field right now.
There's a few. You got quite a bit of stuff, I think, in this list already.
Yeah, it's basically there's a lot of cool things I want to try out, but there's a few things. Like, I have two Shaolin monks that I got, and I have the NK Kai.
Yeah.
So I can, like, there's a cool little Harris that makes the monks regular orders.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, like, that could be a cool little Harris or a
Duke or whatever. We'll save that for when we get into the thing.
Yeah,
you're right. You got enough pieces. And, like, you've got, like, your Guija. You've got, like, you've got a bunch of things you could actually try, couldn't you?
Yeah.
So you're just starting to brainstorm. I gotcha. Sweet. Well, we're going to start our new segment now, which is the listener mailbag. And this was from our patrons. I'm probably just going to open this up to the rest of the listeners because our patrons are being terrible about this. They have asked exactly one question in 2 months since we announced this. and there's like 26 of them. So I feel like they could be doing more to ask questions and taking advantage of this. And if they're not going to, then I'm just going to make it a not patron thing and let other people ask into the listener mailbag, and we'll do a bunch of these.
Ash,
but
it's just that we fulfill all of their hopes and dreams,
all of their wants already. And needs. They're so satisfied. They're so deeply satisfied that they don't require any extra of us.
Exactly.
That's even more nerve wracking because that puts a lot of pressure on us to continue to deliver this high quality Infinity content. The way that has
been. I put zero effort into this podcast.
I know you do. I know you put you do. We're dragging you through this. Like a legless survivor of a plane crash.
I have a smile on my face though, so it's okay.
That's fair. It's more like group therapy for us. So Boris Graymanis asks to all, has Owen and the double Maggies recovered from the mind layer nerf in N4 2.0? So basically, how do you feel about mind layer being slightly changed in 2.0 N4? I don't think it really affects Maggie's because they have mind dispensers. Yeah, so they have mind dispensers. Right, yeah.
Wait, what changed?
You can't put them within any trigger area anymore. It used to be where you couldn't put it if there's like a marker state. Now you just can't on somebody, full stop.
Yeah, but only for the mind layer skill. So you can still like place a mine on somebody during the game.
Yeah,
you just can't. You can't mind layer a crazy koala where it would detonate if someone activated.
Yeah. So you remember that game we played where you put the crazy koala or the wild parrot? Oh no, you did that active turn. So that would still be
there. Yeah.
But you couldn't put a koala in such a way that if somebody's first skill would catch them in it, like if they're within its activation right away, you just can't do that anymore.
Yeah, that's more like for mad traps that nerfs like the gangbuster mad traps because they're on like the halfway mark. And so them placing
I think the biggest nerf is the Specula Killer.
Specula Killer, yeah, because they can drop mines in your deployment zone next to your fire team.
They just place mines everywhere.
Just next to your fire team.
Yeah, and just in your deployment, touching your fire team.
It's impressive.
Yeah. It sure is, and it's gone.
I think that's okay. The Specula Killer was already really good, and in all fairness, now what you can do with the Specula Killer is you can basically zone out deployment, because like, if you deploy first, you just put the Speculo and you still get to put the mine in their deployment or
up against it.
You don't know where they are, but you know they're going to go for a building, right? Like you can still mess with them pretty well.
There's not your reserve piece anymore.
Yeah.
If you're taking the mine layer, or you just don't take the mine layer anymore, too.
Which is expensive. Like, it's prohibitively expensive.
It is quite expensive, yeah. Yeah. The other thing it changes, too, strangely, is repeaters. So, like, you can't start with a repeater on somebody if you have a deployable repeater, right? Huh. Like, and mine layer. There's a few other odds and ends, because they can't be inside zone of control of an enemy model. So, like, your turn zero hacking that doesn't do it. I think, actually, it affects, like, the Koalas and Morans.
Gangbusters.
Gangbusters, that's right, the Mad Traps. There's quite a few units that it affects. But overall, it just means it's very powerful to deploy second, even, like, in, like...
Already?
This is just more power. It just means it's a slight reduction on that. And for those corner case units, like those impersonators that had Mind Layer... It means they're not just oppressively dropping mines on your fire team turn one, killing your lieutenant.
Mag still will, though. The
he does it a different way.
First order, shoot a mine into your deployment. Watch six, shoot 16 in your deployment.
Blast on 17s within 16.
Yeah, here's my two shots. Then reload with my tack aware.
And then come around the corner with the other Maggie. Because they shoot mines for each other.
Yeah, and then they reload themselves. And their little robot drags them along.
So it's not really a super huge problem for the Maggies.
No.
Yeah, because I don't think there's a tag with Mind Layer. It's just Mind Dispensers, I'm pretty sure.
So, okay, so just to clarify, if there's like a Specula Killer, or like a Fide, for example, who's like, they count as a friendly model, though. Are you allowed to place deployables near them?
No, it's any model not like model on your own list that could trigger it.
Yeah, anyone who could trigger it. The requirement isn't friendly or enemy, it's who can trigger it.
And you could trigger the
model. A Speculo Killer could trigger it if they did a move skill plus something that wasn't a mother move skill.
But your own Speculo Killer can never trigger it, so you don't have to worry about him being next to it. So like you can mine lay and then place your own Speculo Killer next to that mine and be fine.
Yeah. But I mean like, so if like a Hakusan player pushed a Fide somewhere, then within
you can't put a mine on it.
Zero deployables are allowed around them.
Right.
Not until the active turn, and then you can do whatever you want.
Yeah. Yep. But that's kind of a buff to Fides.
Sure.
I mean, sure. I stick by, I think people focus way too much on impersonation models.
Yeah, like, me too.
I use them and they're pretty good, but they're not like you very rarely win the game on their backs. Usually you just like hurt somebody. And
it's because it's so niche. It's that identifiable thing about a faction. So you're right. I agree with you. If you play the faction that has them, they're not actually the power piece that people consider them to be. But I think the interaction is so strong and direct that it gives that people have an impression of them that I don't think is unfair.
Yeah.
I think there's also some terrain and some like map setups on the board where you're like, oh,
hard agree.
Yeah, hard bad. Agree.
It can get really bad really fast in the right circumstances. Terrain and army composition facing you can also vastly multiply the value of a impersonation piece.
Yeah, but with only three factions in the game having access to them, like, and of those factions, nobody ever gets more than two. I guess Fide in Hassazin Baram specifically, you can get a third guy for 100 points.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's why I think you should just get rid of biometric glasses. But anyway, what other questions?
We already talked about that. It's a whole other thing, yeah. So that's it. That's our listener mailbag, because we had exactly one. Yeah, I know, right? So I'm all done with it. That question's being deleted. I'm going to put back the why are you so handsome question from me, not me, sorry, to me. And I'm going to share this with the world in the description of this episode. So you guys can go and ask us questions. The next three after why I'm so handsome will be answered in the next episode. We did our best to make that an exclusive piece of additional value to the patrons, and they just threw it back at us. And so we're taking it away like the monsters that we are. And now we're going to dive in and talk about White Banner.
Well, I just want to clarify the reason that we're not answering why are you so handsome is because it's just unquantifiable.
No, it's true. Yeah. It's one of those timeless things. You're right. Yeah. It's like the age old question, what makes 40-year-old George Clooney look like shit? And the answer is 50-year-old George Clooney, right? Yeah. So like it just gets better.
How does the tide work? Tide comes in, tide goes out. You can't
exactly. Yeah. It's just we can't help it. We are who we are, and you guys will just have to live in a world with our presence, like the sun rising in the
if you want an answer. The best answer I can give is because
yeah, just it's a combination of genetics and time and experience and the glorious Canadian shield raising us like the Timberwolves that we are. So moving on, let's talk about White Banner. This is Dan's first foray. So like no one's really going to lead this one, I don't think. Dan's going to be playing this faction, Yuching, and we're going to do it in the same order we did. So four episodes on Yuching. Starting with White Banner, we'll go back to front, and we'll end with Vanilla Yuching.
I could lead us into a ditch.
You could lead us. I'd follow you anywhere, Dan. I'd follow you into hell.
Oh, thanks.
I have, by doing this podcast. So the usual format. I think we're going to change a little bit because we had a big talk about doing these before, and one of the things that we kind of agreed was there was a lot of like repetition in the previous format. So certain pieces we probably won't spend a lot of time on. Like for instance, when we go through, we're gonna do it by classification. We'll start with light infantry, we'll work down. But like talking about the line troops, we're just gonna call it their big features, right? So like, what are the big features? For instance, a Bazanshi versus a Fusilier, slightly worse BS, slightly better CC. Have dodge plus 1 inch.
Don't go through all the things.
We're not gonna go through all the things.
Like, what if we just go like, this is what I think is cool, and then we just forget half of the faction, and then people can be like, well, you didn't talk about this, that's also cool. And then
we're gonna say
the name of every unit in the list.
We will, and we're just gonna give
the degree of which we talk about it will be that's limited. It
exactly, yes, and that way we can all stay awake through this and not have to like have it grind out.
And so faction also gets beast hunters. Moving on.
We've all talked about how great beast hunters are. If you haven't,
we haven't talked about Yuching beast hunters.
Well, and that's exactly the point, Dan. So we're going to call it that beast hunter and not go through the rest of them because we've already talked about them.
And of course, they are the first one on the list because if you go into the website, you go click on the right where it says options, and then you can do sorting, and you can go type unit name, publishing order, classification, ISC, and if you do it in that order, you'll end up with the same order that I'm looking at it.
So type, then what?
Unit name.
Classification, unit name?
No, type, then unit name. Okay. Then publishing order. Then classification.
Okay.
You got it?
Type. I did light infantry. And then I don't see where I do unit name.
No. Clicking. So unit sorting. On the very right, you click options, it pops out.
Yeah.
And then you click and drag them around.
Oh, I see.
And then so there's ascending type, or descending, and I have them all on ascending.
Yeah, all ascending, type, unit name, publishing order, classification, ISC.
And now it will go in alphabetical order through every type. And if there's a tie, it does it by publishing order. So then these things come up.
This has changed my life.
It is objectively the best way to.
I literally can't see it.
Are you on the computer?
I'm on the computer, yeah. So, I hit type, it goes
Are you in the top left of the screen right now?
I am, yes.
Okay. On the right side of the screen, there's a little bar that says options.
Bottom right.
A gray
bar. Oh, I see it. Yeah, okay. Sorting.
Then click and drag it so that it's first type, then unit name.
Got it. Then publishing order, then classification, then ISC. Got it. Okay. Perfect. Yeah, I'm done. Beast hunters are first. I forgot about that little options button. That's sweet.
I know. It's like hidden down there.
Damn. Owen with the life hacks. For those of you listening, bottom right is a little tabby tab that just changed my life too. All right. Well, Beast Hunters, let's jump in then. Light Infantry, Beast Hunters, and that you guys can follow along too at home. The Beast Hunters get a unique profile in Yuching, which is the most expensive profile, but holy shit, is it ever worth it?
It's the same in every way to the other ones. It's except for one two thing. More points, and then you get an explosive CC combat weapon with +1 burst.
So it's just a melee monster, right? Natural born warrior, CC attack +2 damage. So it's a damage 15 explosive close combat weapon, burst 2, CC 21. Holy crap. Stealth, super jump, terrain total. That thing is banana. What do you think about that, Dan? That's insane.
I love it. Well, the thing is you can, like, in my experience using Beast Hunters in 012, is like you can just pop them up, make them look like a mine, and then you can throw Panzerfaust at people as they run around, or a heavy flamethrower if they come around a corner. And if they don't go near it, or that doesn't come into play, and he's still alive, then you can either stay in camo and move around and, like, jump on somebody. And, like, you can just, like, move into close combat with them, and then they, like, choose what they're going to do, and then you can either heavy flamethrower or you can close combat them. Mm-hmm. Like, you kind of just choose whatever is good.
And this is a smoke faction, too. We should mention there is an FTO mine layer, too, that does have a fire team option here. We should probably go through the fire teams before we actually jump into this, because we're going to refer to them. You have your Zanshi fire teams, which is the Doctor, Zanshi, the Beast Hunter FTO, and Chief Zhang, who we'll get to. There's a White Banner fire team, which is the Shang-Zhi, which is your amazing heavy infantry choice. The Zhuzhak, who's the like cheaper version, but has the Shang-Zhi tag, so it makes the fire team cheaper. The Ye Mao, remote Sora Quan, who has the Zhuzhak and Shang-Zhi, and Bishi, who's in this as well with Shang-Zhi. So you actually have a lot of pure, with the exception of the Ye Mao, a lot of pure composition bonuses for the fire team, for your heavy fire team. You can duo your Blue Wolf, and then you have a Shaolin fire team, can go duo in Harris with Shaolin Monks and Lian Ke, who's the specialist Shaolin. And then your wild cards are the Tiangu FTO, the Shang-Zhi can go anywhere, Li Gong, who is the the Lord of Thunder guy, Jinko, which is a Shaolin, Kango, which is a Shang-Zhi, Adel, and then Adel Crane rank in this heavy armor are all your wild cards. So lots of like heavy infantry and fighty warbands you can put into your links. That Beast Hunter though with the plus one burst can't do it, but he could follow along with like that Shaolin Harris and do a bunch of damage if you want to get him to combat.
Yeah, I guess you can, as the FTO, he's still good. He doesn't get the forward deployment, but at only 9 points, if you throw him in.
I think my big thing with him is that when you're paying 17 points now, he's no longer the like, I need to add one extra viable model to my list. It's this guy now has to do stuff.
Yeah.
He's now got like, there's a lot of things that he's now started to compete with mm-hmm. that the 9.1 definitely did not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's a plan for him.
Yeah. If only competing against the Wei Bings in this faction, their repeater attack aware bot, he's only 15 points. So like, do you think your irregular one order, one wound Beast Hunter is more valuable than your repeater attack aware specialist? Maybe it is. Maybe it's not.
You just start in camo.
Sure. But you have to have that conversation too. Yeah. Right. Like my point is purely that he's now got to do a lot more rather than like that bot is going to have passive abilities in the same way that he does, but it also is a regular order given out and it's also tac aware and it's also marksmanship and it's also a specialist. Like that's just what I mean. He's an example. Cause now there's a couple other guys in here that are like getting into that 15 to 17 points, like a Zhangxi hacker for 16 points.
Yeah. And I was going to say the FTO one for that Zhangxi hacker, he's a great point defense piece for 9 points. If you want to give that hacker a 6 cents, you know what I mean? So you could take like the cheap doctor, 2 Zhangxi hackers and the FTO mine layer Beast Hunter. And you've got like a fairly cool little like cheap defensive core link of 4 models.
Yep. And that's what I mean is that's my only thing with him as that, like the 15 and 17.1 is that they're starting to like you have to actually do something with these guys. They can't just be your throwaway. Oh, I got less than 10 points left. Oh, here's an effective guy. And then like Shaolin's, right? Like, is he better than almost 4 Shaolin monks?
I think the 15s never get taken. I think it's either the 9 or the 17 in this list. Cause I don't think for 2 points, you don't take that burst 2 explosive close combat weapon, which is just bananas. Yeah.
So I think there's a big argument to take the 15 point as we've said in the other ones that because the forward deployment plus 8 is really nice, especially mm-hmm. with the Panzerfaust heavy flamethrower in like a camo state. And you could just pretend to be in line.
Sure. But and it's not limited camo either. He can re-camo, which is a big deal with this guy, right? He can re-camo and then go hunt pieces.
He's won me so he's not won me the games, but he's set the tone for so many games of him just like jumping up and suicide with a super jump heavy flamethrower. Just be like, move twice, or was it get up there, and they're like, discover, and like, I'm here. And then I move once, and I heavy flamethrower three guys.
He's so good at breaking up suppression, too, because he can just walk into the suppression in camo.
Yeah, exactly. So right? So the 15 point is really nice because you can save an order because you're already 8 points up.
Mm-hmm.
And so just the order efficiency of being eight inches up, I think is worth it for the whatever. And so in Yuzhing, the two extra points to get the ability to also explode like a tag in combat, or anything else that's super big and crazy, I mean, probably worth it. And that's all I have to say about that.
See? Next up, we have Chung Hee Zhang, Chief Zhang. He is a Dire Foes model who is a engineer and has kind of like neat Dire Foes stats. He's kind of pricey, though. He's 30 points or 20 now with a K1 combi. He's got two kind of neat profiles. You can either take him a light rocket launcher or the K1. He does have plus one attack on it, or plus one damage on all of his BS attacks, which means his K1 combi rifle is damage 14, which is pretty cool. And he's immune to shock, gizmo kit, and he's a built-in human repeater, which can be incredibly valuable. I find him spendy. I find him just expensive for a Dire Foes character. I don't know how you guys feel about him.
This guy didn't even pop up on my radar when I was building lists. It was like, 30 points for a one wound, no way to resist, like no wounding cap or dogged or anything. Like, yeah, you can link with a K1 combi, which is kind of cool, but like, you got lots of guns in this faction. Mm-hmm. You don't need a 30 point BS12 one.
And if you're really an engineer, there's the 15 point engineer, or there's two other engineers in Zhujiak and Yimou that can link.
Yeah.
So
thanks for coming, Dire Foes. We'll get you next time.
You're just too spendy. You have too much kind of like extraneous gear.
Next.
That's the mech engineers next. We might as well talk about the Yisheng at the same time. They're both basically Zanshi's. Same Zanshi like profile. And they're your standard 15 point. They're slightly more expensive than other factions that are sitting around 14 points because they're decent whip, right? They're whip 13. So they're cheaper than they have dodge plus 1 inch and they have whip 13. So they're slightly more expensive than their like Pano counterparts. But other than that, exactly what you think they are. They're a discount repair guy. You have access to Octavia, who we've talked about before, the best Beast Hunter proxy. That's about all she gets used for right now. With her plus one burst missile launcher.
In this faction.
Link it. She's got a place in other ones. She might. Dogged Sixth Sense.
When we get to Shazvasti, I think she has a place there, but not here.
Yes, she might be interesting.
Get out of here, Octavia.
The Tiango Orbital Activity Squad we've talked about before because they're in O12 and they have some neat profiles. What do you think about them in this fact? Like, you haven't used them a ton in O12. What do you think about them here, Dan?
They can link as a wild card, which I guess they can in Starmada, but I don't know. Maybe. I really like the 22 point nanopulsar jammer.
Jammers
are handy. Hollow mask, and you can pretend to be something else, like anything else. And this being behind, like, you could pretend to be a Shaolin monk in this one, and it's like, okay, there's a monk behind a wall, and I'm coming over around it. And
I'll say, that's like, what jammer. I was gonna say. Yeah, a surprise. I actually really like the boarding shotgun for 23 points because they also have grenades. And if you're gonna put into a fighty Harris, having a grenade that you can just chuck over walls all of a sudden can be very cool.
Yeah, he's only fizz of 10 though.
Yeah, but if you're up close, it's plus three. Like, grenades are kind of Hail Marys, and they can be used to clear stuff, right? So
yeah,
I guess they're not great.
Plus three, minus six. I found I've wasted so many orders on, like, Fizz 10 throwing grenades, and they, like...
I'm just saying, if you're putting them in an aggro, like, Harris of Shaolin's, it's just a cool profile to have.
I agree is worth the one extra point.
Well, and the boarding shotgun still gives you the template like the nanopulsar does, right? And also gives you a higher damage close up AP. So it just feels like that weapon kit, I think, is more interesting for like where I would put them, which is I agree with the Shaolin Harris probably. You're not losing anything by having that. And a surprise jammer, like a Shaolin monk just turning into a jammer. Or having like a bunch of models clear a corner, you know what I mean? Where they think that you can't shoot them. And so like a fire team comes around the corner because they think they're all at a range of like your templates and you just hum two grenades into the middle of that fire team and hope for a hit. Like there's a bunch of like interesting tech you could do with those guys.
I like it as a Shang-Chi bringing down the cost of the Shang-Chi unit while also pretending to be one of them. But it's only movement 4/4, and so it can't keep up in the same way.
Yeah.
As soon as you move, you realize, oh.
You reveal who it is, yeah.
That guy's going a little slower than everybody else.
That guy seems like he's not quite a sprinter.
Yeah. And unfortunately, pretty much everyone else who joins the Shang-Chi team, all of the other profiles are all 6'2".
Mm-hmm.
They are the only one that could join them and are not. And so
Yi Mao is also 4/4.
I think that's why the Shaolins are a good
right, but the but he's he can't pretend to be one of them, right?
Yeah, it's open information that he has a 4-inch move, which reveals who he is, I guess is what Owen's saying.
No, he could pretend to be a Yi Mao though, which is also 4/4, and that can be part of that.
Yeah.
Sure, I guess, yeah.
Meh, whatever. They're kinda neat. They might be more cool on paper than actually practical for like their points value and what you're gonna get out of them. I think it's just situational, but I got two of them as part of my little boxes, so mm-hmm. I got an extra few mad traps, which is nice.
The mind sweeper mind layer mad trap killer hacker is the right points in my opinion.
Yeah, he's a nice profile. Yeah,
my problem is it doesn't have infiltration. It's like, what are you doing?
Yeah, mad trap's way back there. And yeah. It's like, yeah.
Like he feels like he should have infiltration, and without it, I don't think he would make it in.
Yeah, I think he's meant to protect you from deployment zone jumpers. That's what you keep him around for.
Yeah, with the 360, that makes sense,
right?
And like,
and the mad traps, right? He's there to you know stick Dirk and Margo and maybe killer hack the brains out of like Ectromoy or something like that.
Yeah,
and honestly, like with the 360, you could like totally pretend you're stupid and be like facing one way and like leaving like one corner of your deployment zone empty when you're like facing Ariadna, and they're just like aha, and you're like kabam.
everybody does, yeah,
because that 360 hollow mask is fun. So you know, having that option is nice. Great. I'll have to test it out. It'll be interesting.
It's an interesting profile for sure. Zanshi's, we already talked about briefly, just a +1 inch dodge, Fusilier, -1 BS, +1 CC, better whip.
Nothing special here.
Yeah, they do. I mean, just profile wise, they do have access to a grenade launcher, which is nice. There isn't like a ton, like they don't have anything interesting like your Kappa hacker. Their hacker is 16 points because it doesn't have like the SMG discount. There's no deployable repeater. Yeah, they're really standard, just like line troops with a dodge bonus, but Fizz 10, so they're not super interesting. But they can make a cheap link, and if you're looking for spotlights and stuff like that, having like a cheapo link of them with the hacker in it's not a bad idea. All right, medium infantry.
I mean, I guess the Beast Hunter can join that link.
Wait, there's another 9.1.
Yeah, that's what I was.
There's another separate Zanshi medic.
We already talked about both of them.
With the engineer.
With the mech engineer, yeah. They're weirdly different profiles. Usually they're like the same,
yeah.
Like your Lambda, but in this case, they're like the mecha. Because they're old, they're like the Pano one where you have the Trauma Dock and the whatchamacallit as separate profiles, even though they're exactly the same.
Okay, so these Hundoons interest me.
Oh, they're so good. I love the Hundun. For the reason of they have the Gal Marksman's hidden deployment, but they are super cheap. Camo is surprise attack -3, so they can go back into camo. Min -3 in stealth. He's a BS-13 gunfighter with arm BTS-3. So he's fairly tough for being Heidi as well. There is an MSV version with a shock marksman rifle that I quite like. There's a multi-snipe that does not have the MSV, though, which I don't like. Then there's an X-Visor heavy rocket launcher, which is an interesting and fairly cheap profile. I think in the three of them, the Shock Marksman's my favorite as a hunting piece. But I'm willing to hear what you guys think.
I think that heavy rocket launcher has a place because it's a heavy rocket launcher, but you get the zero range from 32 to 48 instead of the 33, which mm-hmm. is a big deal.
For a hidden deploy piece, for sure, yeah. And it's
cheap. He's BS-13, right?
Yeah.
And he's got surprise attack. And so, like, all these kind of things of surprise is a heavy rocket launcher from across the table. You're like, oh my god.
He is a bit like the Agema's missile launcher, but way cheaper. But with no visor, which makes him a bit different. But he could take those. He's a cheap kind of like maybe you get that lucky shot as a link team or a fire team crosses that open field and you blast a whole bunch of like pieces out of them.
Yeah, not bad for 27 points. The Shock Marksman rifle is definitely the best profile, but and at 0.5 slick and 31 points, probably worth it. It's the being all the way in your deployment zone and having no forward deployment, which is just kind of, they're so far back that it's, are you going to get the value out of them?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Shock Marksman is, he's there to like hunt that mimetism piece. Like he's a really good value, I think, against like Ariadna. You know what I mean? Where you've got lots of like min minus three floating around or nomads. All right, we've got Imperial Agent Adel Mammut, Special Division, the most charactery character ever. He is the character from Outrage, I think it was. Not Outrage, the other one. The one with Kodaly getting rescued. He's a pretty good, decent all-around character for his point value, 32 points. It's funny when you compare him to... what's his name? To the one we talked about earlier, the chief engineer.
This guy is just hilariously better.
Yeah, like hilariously better. His chain of command one's a bit more expensive at 35, but his specialist operative veteran one, which is great because like you're immune to veterans, great because you're immune to isolation, right? You don't go under retreat. He's got a breaker combi, double nanopulsar, pistol, monofilamental close combat weapon, a para close combat weapon, and like decent armor BTS 2-3. But he's got an absolute salad bowl of special skills. He's got martial arts too, triangulated fire, which is a really interesting skill to have on this guy. Courage, dodge plus three, dodge plus 1 inch. So he dodges on 14s. Sensor, stealth, no winning cap, and number two if you put him in a fire team. And he's a wild card. Rules. I know, right? Like this guy can go anywhere.
I didn't realize he was a wild card.
Yeah, he's a wild card. You can stick him in anything you want. Yeah. Again, you can have one Shaolin monk and this guy hanging out with the orbital insertion unit. Yeah, the jammer. The sensor's really cool, right? Because he's got a sensor with him as well. So he's whip 19-ing all of his discovers and stuff like that, which means he doesn't really care about hidden deploys and mines and all that stuff.
That was nice. And the triangulated fire is like really good against like the high min minus six.
It means he can shoot his breaker combi 42 inches into anything, right? If he can see it, he can dodge at plus three out in the line of fire or something and then shoot it with the breaker combi at any range with any mod stacking.
Yeah.
Which I think people don't really think about until they have it done to them. Right. Yep. Like,
and then what I really like is the melee option because he's CC 23, but if you go against another CC monster where it's like a dice roll, you just use your para CC weapon to put him at a minus nine.
That's to the stat, I think. That para CC weapon is the stat penalty.
Right, but he has martial arts too.
He's got martial arts level 2, which gives a minus 3. And then you stack the para CC weapon minus 6. So they get a minus 9 to their CC. Well, you'll only get like a... It'll equal out because they'll get like a martial arts... They probably have martial arts too. So maybe you'll give a minus 6 and then you stay even. And so you're at 23 and they're at like a 17, which is like a big deal.
Yeah, for sure.
And so it makes it so it's like
you can't. He goes into Demolition Man stun rod mode.
Yeah. And then if they're just better in CC and they're not a CC monster back, then you just go to monofilament and murder them. So I really like that it's got like a defensive CC weapon. You know what I mean? So it'd be like the bronze in the has that as well. And it just got martial arts level 1, but it's just like, it's like, I'm a CC monster. You're like,
Number two is Quark case too, but it can save you a lot of command tokens.
Don't know why you're so worried. No one ever gets into melee.
I would keep saying this and he kills me in melee every game.
I was going to say, he's saying it so he can keep killing you in melee. He's going to say it while he's killing you in melee. He's going to be like, this never happens, Dan. This never happens. Just forget all about this.
I think this guy invalidates Chunghee instantly. Like, there's any situation where you're like, boy, I sure want mech engineer Chunghee.
But Chunghee is an engineer.
And you're like, or.
I mean, this guy's also a specialist operative, right? And a veteran.
Right. Right. So he's still a specialist. And then he's just two wounds, sort of. He doesn't have shock immune. So he can just die from shock.
But he's got the other guy's got a K1 combi rifle.
I mean, this guy's got breaker, which can sometimes be better than K1.
Yeah. And dodge is better and is in melee and has an extra nanoprocessor burst. And I like the chain of command guy. Chain of command doesn't come up all that often across the game. And like, yeah, these guys have the invincibles to get it too, but like if I was going to bring him anyway.
He's not veteran then, though. I don't know. I like that he's veteran.
His other version's always veteran. But anyway, we'll get to
him. The Chain of Command one's not, though. Sorry, yeah, it's true. Yeah. Let's go on to Chinkawa then. The Lord of Thunder with his Martial Arts 3. This guy's a weird...
A deal, too. No,
he's not the Lord of Thunder. The next guy's the Lord of Thunder.
Oh, sorry, the Shadow of Wong Di. Yeah, Li Gong's Lord of Thunder, sorry. This is your weird super warband piece. But he's medium infantry, so he's armed BTS 3. He's a no wound in cap, but again, not shock immune. It's funny, this is like the faction that didn't get the memo that if you're no wound in cap, you should be shock immune. Yeah, there's a bunch of these guys. They have the weird heavy infantry that kind of are, but this guy's not.
I feel like he's way too fragile to be that many points.
Yeah.
You just flick him and he dies. He's armor 3, but
if you hit him with shock round, he's gonna die. He's got stealth and he does. If he had camo, he weirdly doesn't have camo, and he's actually being discounted too with religious. He should be more expensive than what he is because of his pile of stat buffs, like his martial arts and dodges, his mimetism specialist and no winning cap and stealth and climbing plus. But the religious is making him cheaper.
Yeah, dodge on 16s is good.
Oh yeah, dodge on 16 is real good.
So min minus 3 and dodge 16. And then climbing plus and specialist operative. I guess I can see how he has a place.
You can wall run.
But it's just the one wound for 36 points just seems.
He's not an NWI, right?
Yeah, but I see what you're saying.
If you just shoot him with a multi rifle, he's dead. Yeah.
Yeah.
And if he hits him one, he dies instantly. Actually, too, which is funny because his dodging. You'd think you'd want to use him to mind clear with the NWI, but you don't because they're probably shock. That's just gonna kill him.
Yeah. So it's and it's all this crazy unnecessary martial arts everywhere where you're
it's your theme, nice to right? Have. The theme of these guys is that.
It's annoying how some things just are overcosted because of that. And you're like, I'm not going to get this guy in melee. Probably.
Yeah. They give you all these tuned up melee weapons like monofilament and AP plus DA and then give you the skills to be able to use them. And you're like, yeah, but I'm going to die.
He's missing one component for his value. He's missing a delivery system. So if he had smoke grenades or camo, I think this guy'd be really compelling. But because he lacks those two things,
or just infiltration, even if he's invisible,
start halfway deploy. Up. Yeah,
yeah, mm-hmm. Something to get him up there already.
Something then... something like Casanova has.
Yeah.
I like that. I would like that. But as of right now, I'm not really interested.
He's too expensive.
Next,
Li Gong. This is the one that Dan tried so hard to wrap his brain around, but this guy did get the shock immune message. He is a very useful in certain situations piece, and he is very probably list 2.
he's got albedo
and MSV1, shock immune, no wounding cap, and he's either a long range guy or a medium range brawler gunfighter with a shock marksman rifle, or he's a close up chain of command SMG guy. He's meant to hunt MSV pieces because he's a 6-2, fairly fast mover. Doesn't have any forward deployment skills, but
he doesn't have forward deployment. He doesn't have climbing plus. He doesn't have super jump. He's got these crazy big wings on his models. And I'm just what the hell?
You're cognitively dissonant to what he looks like, to what he is. You think he should fly, and yet he's just a rollerblader. He's like a C-list Batman villain. Look, Calendar Man.
The amount of other models that I've just built that also have 6-2 movement and don't have these massive fucking wings on the back of them, and then this guy does. I'm like, ooh, this guy's gonna be all jumping.
You should at least have climbing plus. I think give him climbing plus. Yeah, you're right.
Climbing plus would be fine. Yeah, something. But it's just right now. I'm like, what? He looks cool, but it's just it's 6-2 movement is nice, but I don't think he has enough movement shenanigans outside of that to maybe be worth it. It's just the albedo I think is the only reason you bring him.
If you're constantly worried about facing down an MSV overwatching piece like a Varuna linked Kamau or Atalanta or one of these other visor pieces or the Marut, he can get a lot of work done. Otherwise, he's list 2.
I think so. Cool model, though.
Very cool model. Yeah, he's a former, he's a, whatchamacallit piece, a Aristea piece.
Damn.
All right, on to quite possibly the best combat jump troops in the game, the really? Tiger Swoopers.
I don't believe that at all, but okay, you can make.
Oh my god, they're so good for their point value. They're so good. I love these guys.
In Yu Chang.
They're okay. PS13, Fizz 12 for combat jump if you want them to be, which means they can go to 15 if you support them. We have 14 arm 2, and they've got min minus 3 parachutes and combat jump and terrain total, which was really useful in this last version. And they're all relatively inexpensive, with either light flamethrower combi rifle for the hacker, paramedic, and just like base profile, or you can get a boarding shotgun and a Spitfire as well. But I think just the basic like paramedic or hacker, or just the basic guy with a kind of rifle are fantastic profiles. Being able to walk sideways in, that Spitfire piece can be really cool too. Coming in the side with a mimetism minus 3 BS-13 Spitfire can carve an unsuspecting like flank to pieces. I think it's a really cool hunting gunfighter piece, and their AVA 3.
Yeah, the BS-13 min minus 3 come up side of the board Spitfire, I think, is the only one I like.
Okay, we're not talking about all of you, Ching, but because you've made this claim, how can you think that he's better than the losing?
The exploding one?
The exploding shock trooper is 3 points more.
Yeah.
But he's Fizz 14 on his jump. He's also no wounding cap. He can also walk in from the side. He also explodes on impact.
When he combat jumps, he explodes.
Sure.
Yeah. He's great. For he what jumps he does.
On 17s.
When it comes to being reliable, I think the Spitfire MSV piece is an incredible gunfighter. I think he is one of the premier parachutists in the game. Like,
sure.
But he's not a gimmick. You're right. He's not a gimmick the way the other guy is.
Well, the other guy can walk in from the side with a Spitfire too, only he's 2 wounds because he's no wound in cap shock immune.
Is he and has better 3? Armor.
He's not mid minus 3.
Is he BS-13?
Yes.
Okay. So he's not mid minus 3. He's not going to win the gunfights as often.
No.
Is he more expensive?
How many points is the Spitfire one for that
34.
Guy? 38. You pay 4 points for an extra wound.
I'd rather the mimetism just win the fights and not need the extra wound.
Can't win a fight when you get hit by a template and a guy.
I mean, sure, but that's not what you're going to use this guy for. You're going to use him where you can come in from a vector and go hunt down the side with a Spitfire, right?
I guess. I don't know. I think the other guy, like, if only for the fact that I could choose to land on you and just kill something. Like, the other guy's 3-3 for arm BTS as well. And higher Fizz and higher CC.
Yeah. I'm they're just different. I like this guy better for his value to what he does. I think he's very straightforward. And I think he does exactly what you want a side scalpel piece to do. I think you're paying for a bunch of extra stuff you're not going to use every time on the other guy. That's all.
I just think the other guy for 3 points is a
4.
Like, it's so much more. Or 4 points for the Spitfire. But the base, like the bottom to the bottom, is what I was looking at.
I see.
Like the 29 to 32, and 32 points gets you plus 1 to all of your stats.
Except well, for he's not in white banner, so it doesn't fucking matter. So let's move
fair
on.
Enough, fair enough. Game on. Yeah, this guy's definitely the best super jump guy in white banner. You got it.
Combat jump, not super jump. But speaking of super jump,
the AMAL infantry. These guys are also interesting hunting pieces. Worst BS of BS-12, though, but same armor. BTS-6, which is kind of cool, but super jump, terrain total, min minus 3, and MSV-1.
I like the MSV-1 mimetism combo.
I think these guys are amazing.
They're amazing. Just like,
without doubt, my favorite profile in this faction.
AP Spitfire for 32 points with super jump, min minus 3, MSV-1 is a crazy profile.
Like, when we were doing those like faction takedowns and like what to watch out for, this is a unit, especially because it is linkable, that falls directly into that, like, this faction has a thing that can both go anywhere and fight anything.
And yeah, like, you team it up with Bishi, who's also, I'm pretty sure, super jump.
She sure is. Go. And that's your 4-man team.
You only get one Yamao. You can't get more than one Yamao in the fire team.
You can get 3 if you bring it as your white banner.
White banner, yeah, fire white team banner. Max is 1 for the Yamao.
No,
3. Oh, it's 3. Not. No, you're. Oh, sorry. I was looking down. I was looking above, not below. You're right. You can get 3. Yeah.
So now you have your 6 cents. So you have one of these guys as a hacker. And then you have Bishi, and you're going 6-2 on all of these. Or sorry, 4-4 and 6-2 for her. And then you've got your cheapo guy, your multi-rifle, chain cold Panzerfaust, if you have to like first guy around the corner. You've got your AP Spitfire. You've got your hacker, who's now 6 cents. and Bijou who can solve problems as needed.
Apply stabs. Yeah.
And it's also his NCO, which opens up the NCO rules for moving mm-hmm. this link around, which is a crazy fast link with all of the super jumping.
Yeah. And not that expensive either. They're all floating around 30. I think that AP Spitfire is nice and cheap. The Killer Hacker at 29 points is another cheap one with a multi-rifle, so it can still fight. And then maybe you bring the Ford Observer to a specialist, or you bring the... Actually, you bring the Ford Observer because there's a Panzerfaust, so you have something with range.
Well, that's why I brought the cheapest guy. I guess you might as well make him an FO for 1 point.
Yeah.
Bijou's also a specialist, and I would always bring her with these guys because...
And so is the Hacker, because you want the Killer Hacker in there.
And then the Hacker, yeah.
I guess you could make it a Yi Mao fire team.
That's it. You just bring the four of them.
Yeah, the white Mao, the white banner one. Yeah.
Interesting.
It won't have composition bonuses as long as you have Bijou in there, but who cares? You're just getting the burst bonus, and you've got MSV one and a AP Spitfire.
Well, you're getting the burst bonus, but you're also getting a Sixth Sense Hacker, right? That's what I was thinking.
Definitely, yeah. Sixth Sense is huge.
Yeah. And in a faction that has a deployable repeater mind layer.
And if we're talking about the what to look out for section of White Banner, their medium infantry list, like if we take out Jin Ko and Li Gong for being just like, you know, aberrant sort of like character pieces. Just
the
Yi Mao
and the Hunduns are a nightmare.
Right? Yeah, the Yi Mao, the Hunduns, Adol, and the Tiger Soldiers in Yi Mao are all fantastic pieces. They're all great value for what you get.
I really like solid medium infantry because there's no downside to the medium infantry.
Not anymore. It used to be. They're all 4-2 before and sucked and nobody used them and they fixed that in N4.
Except for grunts.
Except for grunts, because you guys don't have actual power armor. You're just wearing really heavy pants.
I think these guys are great though.
Yeah, like, me too.
Yeah, like shoulders. Yeah.
These guys didn't even come up on my radar because I was like so looking at it as from a different angle, which we'll get into when we get to remote.
Also pointing out that they are a hacker with BTS-6, which is relevant. Because like durable. a lot of the like middling hackers don't have a very good BTS. Like,
well, you want to get crazy when we get to heavy infantry, which we should just do next before we jump to remotes. You get a wild card that can jump into there. You want BTS-6 killer hacker with a firewall -6.
I mean, heavy infantry is next.
You add in Shang Jesus. before we get into there, we'll talk about Bijou, because we're doing these in the right order. Bijou we just mentioned, but we've talked about her before. MSV1. She's a very big investment. She's 41 points, but she's 2 wounds flat because she's heavy infantry. She's a premier like fight and shoot piece. With an EM close combat weapon, multi-rifle zapper, and a flash pulse, MSV1, martial arts 3, NCO, dodge +6, so she dodges on 18s.
Don't worry, she dodges +2 inches. Every time I dodge.
Yeah, that's fair. She's shocking me. She's a built-in forward observer, which is interesting. Stealth, NCO, super jump, and climbing plus. She's just incredibly mobile, gets where she wants to go, and fights like a demon.
I like that she's basically move 6-4, because you move 6, and then you dodge.
And there's no reason not to, every single time.
Yeah, the odds are that you just make the roll.
She's also notably the only NCO in this faction.
Yeah.
And she can join any of the White Banner fire teams and counts as a Shang-Chi. And because this faction does have Lieutenant plus X, I think it's always worth... maybe not always worth, but I definitely think if you're going to bring her, you're going to bring Captain Qiang.
Yeah.
But anyway... I think she's fine. She's perfectly. Yeah. She costs what she should. She has all the ability to do all the things. And she's tough enough to justify that cost.
Yeah. And she's versatile and super mobile. She gets where she wants to go because she doesn't need a delivery system of like mimetism or smoke, because she can just climb plus super jump to wherever she wants to be at.
Yeah.
Yep. It's so nice.
Well, then Captain Cheng Gao, the Invincibles officer, this is the Defiance character. He's a big old Invincible with a heavy machine gun. So he's a character with a heavy machine gun. If he's in charge, he's got +1 order. He is Spenderoo, though, 49 or 45 points for that +1 order. He does have a 2-burst breaker pistol, which makes him not bad in melee. It also means that he's not -3 to hit with his heavy machine gun. He's burst 3 at 8 inches, because remember, you go to a -3 band if you get to 8 inches with the HMG. So he has something that can work up close.
Gotcha.
And then he's ECM -3 hacker, so he's a bit more robust against hacking. He's got a damage 14 breaker pistol, 16 heavy machine gun because of his BS tech +1 damage, and he's dodge +1 inch, and he's immune to shock and veteran. So he's a cool 50 points. He's a sixth of your army if you take him as your lieutenant plus one order, which means him and Bishi are adding up to like 90 points for the two of them. But they're both real good. If you like power pieces like Owen does, you do have the cheap troops in this faction to make those guys work as looking mortars. No?
No.
I like both of them. They're both in my list.
Owen loves a good power piece. He loves a good power piece.
The idea being purely that they use him to push, like punch holes if needed, and then they leave him behind with the emails and Bishi just going off to do their job because they're so fast and maneuverable.
I look at him as a competition. I look at him as a competition to
Ado.
No, Shang-Chi's. Oh, and I think the Shang-Chi's have more to offer, and then you just take a cheaper lieutenant.
Sure. Daofei?
Daofei. I do like this guy, though, because we have lieutenant options in here as well. Three of them, in fact.
He's camo, too.
And he can be camo, which means it makes
I like him... lieutenant camo.
Yeah, you lieutenant camo can cost, be cool. yes, he is a huge investment. You start talking about costs because he has everything. He's a 6-2 heavy infantry, like arm 4 platform. Surprisingly low BTS, though. He's only BTS 3, but train total, immune to shock, camo, surprise attack minus 3, dodge plus 1, inch, infiltration, mimetism minus 3, and stealth.
I love that he's got infiltration and you can make him a lieutenant, and then you can be like, I'm outside your deployment zone.
He's your lieutenant. Just kill it. Just killing the lieutenant. He leads from the front all the time. I think it's the camo that makes him interesting, right? And his three profiles, it's a boarding shotgun, Spitfire, multi-rifle, and they're all duplicated on the lieutenant profiles if you want.
I think there's a space for like different lists to bring the 49 lieutenant boarding shotgun to just kind of like keep him off the board as a camo marker, kind of just off to the side. And then when he needs to wake up, he can. Otherwise,
you just have him go turn three.
Relatively hard to assassinate lieutenant. He is pricey for that, to kind of sit down. So I don't know.
If you can conserve your order pool till turn three, he can have an absolute rampage in the last turn. Because you don't care on turn three, right? Turn three, who cares if he's lieutenant? Just go ham.
Yep. But it's like the only NCO being Bishi is like, I still want to call her Bixie. I'm going to call her Bixie.
Call whatever you want.
Bixie A. Yeah, that's just really pricey. You have the 41 and the 40, so it's just like a lot of your army.
You're going two directions in this army. You're either having an incredibly expensive lieutenant or an incredibly cheap lieutenant. I always err on the cheap lieutenant, but that's just me.
Me too. And then I always deal with loss of lieutenant.
Then we got Adel in his special armor. So this is him when he gets suited up and goes to war. So he goes to full two wounds. He's got arm 4 BTS6. He's basically a crane rank, like heavy infantry guy from the Invincible Army now. Same core sort of abilities. So martial arts, 2 triangulated fire, courage, dodge plus 2 inches, immunity, shock, number 2, specialist, sensor, stealth, veteran. And then his same loadout. So breaker, combi, nanopulsor. And he can be a lieutenant, so chain of command. I don't know. I like the cheaper one still. I think that he's just as good. I don't think I'd spend the points on this guy. I think I just keep him unhackable because he's not heavy infantry with no wounding cap. And take the not chain of command one, just take the specialist one.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I don't think the BTS burst air bonus is worth the being hackable.
Nope.
Jujax, your discount. Discount heavy infantry. So they're
Koreans.
Cheap. Yeah. They're
what?
They're discount. Like they're Jesus Christ, Dan.
they made StarCraft famous. I love StarCraft.
All right. So Zhujax have courage, dodge plus potential, and immunity shock. Just shout the most awkward shit sometimes, Dan. It's so funny. They're really meat and potatoes, like heavy infantry. BS 13, whip 13, arm BTS 3, 2 wounds. Shock immune, and like you go from like just heavy flamethrower as your sidearm with a combi rifle, which I think is a really cool profile, to breaker combis, and then if you want to add 4 points to the basic profile, you've got a tin bot with firewall minus 6. I think that's a cool ass profile. They're not like wild cards, but you can put Jujax into the white banner fire team with Shang-Chi's, and they have the keyword to make them cheaper. So I think this is a really versatile profile. I don't think it's like your main point man, but I think late game having like a 26 point or 28 point heavy infantry guy that can just start fights is legit.
I mean, yeah, pretty good having armor 3, 2 wounds, heavy flamethrower, and the breaker combi rifle that can just solve a lot of problems.
Sure can.
And 6-2 movement, and you can bring 4 of them.
I like them for a rule of cool that their models are are like the appropriate chunkiness, and like they give me like if you took the cloaks off the Lugaru, the one person with his visor up and like the other hand up there, and then there's, and you get a little Tembot in the box set, and also they come in the starter set, so like
you get the core one.
Gonna have this guy floating around anyway, so you might as well just have him. So he's in, or he's in Kaldstrom. I shouldn't say the starter set, but it became the starter set. So
yeah, he was in the Kaldstrom box.
And like, yeah, you just that random guy there is like, I am a boarding shotgun, Tinbot, Firebot.
Well, he's 4 or 5 of the profiles can be that combi or breaker combi model that came in the starter set, which is really cool.
Yep. Yeah, no, I think these guys are super, super neat. They don't have any special rules, which is great because it keeps their points down.
They have exactly what you want them to have. They have courage, dodge, and shock immune, right? Those are the three things that you want to have in the infantry piece.
So what I've learned recently is not Lost Lieutenant, but Retreat.
Courage makes you immune, too.
You're immune. Yeah, you ignore retreat rules if you have courage.
Same with Religious.
Yeah.
Yep.
Sure do.
I often get slaughtered, and so it comes up.
Having these guys around would be great.
Just kill a few guys on your way out.
We got our character, Shujak, which is Sorak Wan. She's BS-14 in addition to the core stats, and she has +1 damage in her BS attacks. So if you want like a point man piece, she's a pretty cool like Dire Foes-ish character type model in the 30-point range, but she has a pile of extra stuff. So she gets EM mines on all her profiles. She adds shock to her combi rifle profiles, and she can also have a shock marksman rifle and that same Tembot. So I think for the couple extra points, there's no reason not to have Sora in one of these.
Yeah, and what's nice is you can make it either in the fire team, you can bring in a Zhujak or a Shang-Chi.
Yep, she can add to both. And she'll bring the cost on the Shang-Chis.
The Zhujaks didn't have Shang-Chi. Because like I think it'd be neat to bring the regiment with Sarah or Sora Kwan as like its own thing separate from the Shang-Chis. Like I get it why it's happened. Like if the Invincibles officer, like if Gao could only go with the Shang-Chis and Sora could go with the Zhujaks, like then there'd be two kind of sides to this coin. And the fact that they're just intermingled means you're just going to like cherry pick, which like I get it, that's how it is. I just for style choices, like there could have been something different here, because right now like we're about to talk about Shang-Chis and we might as well get into it, because I think you're right. I think Sora Kwan's almost always worth it if only I'm BS-14 and can be in a pure link without too much trouble.
And give you EM mines so you can like up close hunt.
Yeah, and I have every gun I need to solve problems, like a marksman rifle, and EM mines, and again,
whatever this fire team didn't have, I bring.
Yeah, I can be a little medium range fighter and also a support piece, and also I have a +1 damage flamethrower.
And also, she can carry the firewall too, which is nice.
Yeah. Yeah, so like that's really cool. But Shang-Chi's squat over this entire faction. Get rid of Yu Qing as a faction, because it's going to come up again and again about how, like, but how do you optimize your Shang-Chi's? Because they're here.
Yeah.
They only have 3 tactical awareness profiles.
They only have, 10 profiles of choices of like every gun, every type of gun that could solve every kind of purpose, including an AP-HMG, which are not common, but these guys got one.
The one thing I will say is they're not BS-14. So they're not into the premier BS range of like hard-hitting heavy infantry, like the O-12 get, the Pano gets. They don't go O-12 to that super high-end.
Doesn't get it really either. I think you're just thinking Aelith and...
No, O-12 gets it. The Omega gets it. The Omega Gamma the gets Gamma. It. There's a bunch of guys that get it in O-12. The Raptor even is BS-14.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Well, they're not that. All they are is attack aware, Tinbot, AP-HMG, multi-rifles, chain colts for everybody.
I think honestly that BS-13 is keeping their cost down because they're also aggressively priced for what they carry mostly. Unless they have tactical awareness, which pushes their points way up because all of a sudden you have an extra order. These guys are aggressively priced for what they do.
And built in number two, which makes them super efficient. Yeah. And again, these guys link with everybody, or rather everybody links with them. So like, you're probably going to have these in your list just for the pure, this is a meat and potatoes heavy infantry link. You can reduce the cost of it by mixing in one or two Zhuzhaks or what was the guy before that we were talking about? It wasn't Adel.
Medium infantry guy that you really like. It's called Yamal.
It gets rid of composition bonus if you bring it with him, but yeah, it's kind of like quick. The Shang-Chi, I just keep staring at the tactical awareness profiles because I'm like, yeah, you're spending more, but you're like, you get a whole other order.
It's a whole extra guy. I mean, the most popular Shang-Chi profile is the tactical awareness AP heavy machine gun fireball minus six. Yeah, it's 49 points. It's the most expensive, but because you can drop it into any fire team in this entire list, and it adds so much value. Wild card.
Yeah, you can join anybody.
Anybody. He can hang out with the Blue Wolf.
Yeah, and give it a
fireball.
Yeah, it does.
Six.
Yeah,
sure Jesus. Can. Sure That's can, amazing. Buddy.
You're like, yeah.
You want to cover every range band? You send Shang-Chi's out with the Blue Wolf and just go to town, or you stick him with a Shaolin monk and have him hang out with what's his name, the orbital guy,
or just two Shaolin monks, and he's like, "Hi, I'm a 59.4 action HMG, AP HMG,
AP HMG."
No, the Shaolins are the Shaolins are warband and they're irregular unless Liang K is in it.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, so that's why you take Liang K and one Shaolin monk.
There you go. You just do that. He's still got melee ability, which will protect that from. It's the only thing the Shang-Chi don't have in a faction of like goodish melee. It didn't. Like 19th good, sure, but you lose against everyone who's a fighter. Like anyone who wants to come at you, they're going to kill you.
Yeah.
That's the only thing they don't have going for them. And the other one would be stealth. They didn't get the sneakers.
No, but their BTS-6 and firewall minus six is pretty good. It helps against a lot.
So the firewall minus six, it still only gives plus three
to only BTS, plus three armor, right? Plus your BTS, sorry. But your BTS nine effectively against whatever's attacking you, and then also your minus six to whatever the attack is. So you're resetting on a 13.
Yeah, I get that. I just without stealth, it means that you're open to getting slowed down.
For sure.
You're probably gonna make it, but like a bunch of whip. Like 13 guys shooting sevens at you, like I'm probably gonna resist it, but it only takes one. Like one of them slides through and your link starts to dissolve. I don't know. That's my only thing. And it's probably what's also like I would say keeping their points down because otherwise they have infinite gear.
They have chain colts, so if you get up close to them, they can template you.
And they all have that. They all have a template weapon. Sure. Even the rocket guy who has a shotgun is also a template weapon now.
Yeah.
And because they all have two wounds, you can sometimes just go, that's fine.
I'm still here. I'm still alive. He's great. Yep. You put him in the fire team of your choice.
Yeah. Like a Blue Wolf.
Like a Blue Wolf fire team.
Model.
So next up is Skirmishers. It is the Blue Wolf. Skirmishers with tags.
Tags. It's in order. What are you doing?
I'm looking and didn't show up that way. Anyway, go on. So Blue Wolf model. starting by
options again.
No, that's fine. It's fine.
Unit name, publishing order, classification.
So Blue Wolves.
I'll be getting one in the box that when I eventually get it. So I'll have one. But I kind of want two, so I can do all of them.
I don't see why he's not 58 points.
He's very expensive for what he does, but he does again have like an absolute
solid
bar.
He is expensive.
He's 71 points, yeah. Jeez, he's four less points than the Gator, and he's a light tag. He's a 6'6 Stingray size tag.
Yeah. Okay. So he's BS-14, which is nice.
He's paying out the AT teeth for that plus one burst. That's what it is.
The BS tech plus one burst is across the board pretty great. He empties his Panzerfest immediately. He's burst five AP Spitfire.
Yeah.
So he's effectively got an HRMC that doesn't shock, right?
I think the fact that he hit BS-14 and got plus one burst. Like, he's got Berserk and some CC ability, which is unique to tags, too, or rather, very uncommon.
His dodge is also much higher than like just the Fizz 13 on a dodge on a tag is pretty high.
That is high, but, yeah.
But I think that the plus one burst is really what drove up his point cost. Like,
it's yeah, it's got to be it.
Because like otherwise he's pretty solid, I think. Like he's tag stats, he's tag man.
Yeah, his ability to super jump in this ITS was kind of neat because he had train total. But you're absolutely right. It's his burst 5 and BS 14 that like it whatever the computation is, it drove his price value into like
it's that I can't quite see the CC ability, right?
Yeah, it has a CC 26 movement 10 DA close combat weapon.
They can dodge on 13s in a line of sight, so it can do active turn dodging to get that line of sight for that berserk, and then berserk 10
it
inches.
It can also just walk up on you and shoot you with its wall of bullets, and then it's like, oh, you lived, charge.
That's right, charge. He just jumps on you.
Yeah, because his AP Spitfire is in good range when he's at 8, and then he knows exactly how far he is and can berserk 10 and hit you.
Yeah, he just hits outside zone of control and then berserks into you.
3 wounds on 6 means he can always afford to face, like, with the exception of maybe explosive close combat Beast Hunter man, like, he's going
to. It's just funny. Tag flamethrowers, I think, are the thing he's the most scared of.
Yeah. Any of the plus one damage flamethrowers. But even then, it's like 50-50. He's got 3 wounds. He'll pass one. He won't pass.
You say that. Hector died like a bitch to that grunt.
That's why he's not. He wasn't armor 6. Ever. That's the problem.
Blue would have made it. Blue would have made it. He's a real boy. Not like Hector, who's the same point value.
Heavy flamethrowers. Think
about that. Terrifying. Hector's the same points as this guy.
Hector has a few more things going on, too.
He sure does.
A lot. Like, this guy doesn't want to eat a bunch of plasma rifles to the chest.
He sure doesn't.
But I wish he had climbing plus. Like,
A mobility skill. Yeah, I agree.
Like, a mobility skill. Because, like, at 71 points, he... Because, like, I'm thinking about him compared to the Agamemnon that we've recently talked about, who is creeping into that same point value. But the Agamemnon is also the melee kind of fighter that this guy is. I gotta double check what the Agamemnon actually costs.
He's NBW, he's Natural Born Warrior.
Yeah, so the Agamemnon's only 62 points.
Yeah, he's cheaper. It's like 10 points cheaper.
He's not as good a fighter because the Agamemnon's only a 20. Natural Born Warrior, sure. They both have an AP Spitfire. He gets a plus one burst heavy flamethrower, which kind of like that is the plus one burst ability. They're both BS14. I know, I get it, they're in different factions. Yada yada yada. They can't be pointed the same.
He has the hacker bonus -3 hack. He's also CC attack -3, which is a better martial arts, right? Because it can't be canceled by NWB.
Yeah, it's sort of the same thing where it's like there's so many of these like size 6 mini tags.
The new Stingray ones. Well, they've just all there was 2. Now there's lots.
Now there's like almost one
every faction. I think. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think there's still like my perspective is that. What that is, it's still being figured out because like they're all over the place in
quality. I like the Blue Wolf. I think you need to know how to play with this guy. That's the thing. You need to apply him to the right piece, and he's gonna do things you don't expect tags to do, like that
burst 5 AP
Spitfire. He's actually really good at hunting other tags inside that 16-inch band, right? Like a 24. Burst 5 AP Spitfire. Because you get inside the HMG range of another tag, right? To inside that 16. Like, they won't want to fight him in there with an AP Spitfire. Because an AP Spitfire that's damage 15 is a dangerous weapon to a higher value target.
Yeah, you get in between that heavy flamethrower and 16, kind of like
exactly
that.
Outside 10, inside 16. 11 to 16, you will obliterate almost any other tag because you're just going to have better mods and more dice.
And even against things like enemy links that have like a really good gunfighter as like the point man on the edge, this thing can just come flying at you with a berserk and go, you only shoot me twice, bam.
Yeah. Or a suppressing like mim piece. He'll come out, shoot on his way into 10 inches so that he can just like cancel all the shots and then just explode that guy's face.
He's got a double heavy flamethrower, so you could just like walk in and go, wah!
You can dodge that. You can't dodge berserk. Nothing stops berserk.
But I mean, like, you berserk in, kill something, and then walk around the corner, and then what are you gonna do?
You're there.
Yeah, you're on top of him, exactly.
Yeah.
So there are a lot of options with this guy, but he is a big investment. And I think the problem with him is in this sectorial, because you have things like the Shang-Chi's and you have things like the other, the medium infantry troops that are so compelling. His price tag, I think, is the thing that makes him problematic, not necessarily his stat line.
It's funny because I that is it. Like, each time we come across these Stingray tags, they have to fight for their lives because they're either priced out of their competition, like I think he is in this case, or they're like the Agamemnon, who's like, I'm as good as Hector. I am. Like,
I promise. Discount Hector.
Yeah,
he's discount Hector. That's the thing.
You can save 2 points if you bring me. Do you have a plasma rifle? No. Are you Strategos? No. Can you go prone? No. Okay. Goodbye. Like,
I still think I'll fight to the death over the Agamemnon. I think he's a great tag.
I mean, I have one. I'm on board. I'll do it. I think that this is the thing that I'm noticing as we've gone more and more of these factions, that these Stingray tags are fighting for their slots because they're like halfway to a tag, but then the heavy infantries have just kind of caught up, and like the super heavy infantry or the things like that Shang-Chi AP HMG firewall guy. Yeah, it's just another blue wolf. Like,
it's a blue wolf for 20 points less.
Yeah. And I have to Aquaware still. Sweet.
You want to talk about too expensive then?
You splurge for another 11 points.
You want to splurge? Yeah, I'll throw 11 points on top. You can have a Guaja. You get 2 armor out of that equation. Worse dodging. Same gizmo kit, but you get martial arts 2 and super jump, and a multi HMG and a heavy flamethrower. Less dice on your gun and less burst.
Super jump's real good though. Like, real good.
Sure is, yeah. Real super jump. It's not like, it's not seasonal super jump, which the blue wolf currently has.
Yeah. It's real armor. Real boy super armor jump. 8 pushes him up a little bit against the AP stuff that's out there.
Plays 11 points for martial arts 2 and a DA close combat weapon,
and a multi HMG. Being able to ARO single tap a explosive round.
Sure, absolutely
is relevant.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Versus and, just and built in super jump. Because, like, again, the blue wolf, sometimes he's going to get it because of terrain total. But built-in super jump, like, tags who can move around. I wish it was climbing plus on the blue wolf. I really do. But it did super jump on Guaja. No, Guaja. I wouldn't bring it. But it exists.
The thing that the Guaja suffers from is being banned. I'll be honest, being a man tag these days sucks. It makes you so dangerous to repair.
Stop talking about how bad the Shakush is. Jesus.
Just hard to get by, not being able to re-roll that whip tech, you know, accidentally breaking your own legs.
I just feel like he's just like, hey, look, he's got martial arts level 2 and CC 22, and it's like, why? Like, why have I needed 2 points?
He wishes he was the
You think that martial arts is the carryover from the old? No, because they didn't used to have it. It used to only be the Oyuroi, right?
It was just
I'm trying to remember when
this guy got super jump and martial arts in this edition.
Because I was gonna say, because martial arts used to give you stealth, Dan. And so
it was nested in.
There was a thing of like the Oyuroi for sure I knew had martial arts, which gave
it was martial arts 1 back in the day, which gave it stealth, which was a huge deal. And courage too, which for a man tag was a big deal as well.
Yeah. And so like you look at this thing and you're like, but why now? I guess you're kind of fighting in melee. Cool.
Look, the point is that once you murder the Guaja, and if you don't completely kill it, you can jump out with the pilot. Again, martial arts and one.
Martial art one, somebody. Go for it.
Go. Yeah. And with a shock CC weapon going,
I think, again, both tags in this list are just outclassed by the medium and heavy infantry. You have such compelling medium and heavy infantry stuff, like with your Hundun and the Ye Mao, and then, of course, the Shang-Chi's and the, whatchamacallits, the
Jujax. Alert for the rest of Yu Jing, that never changes. Like, they don't have any more tags.
I would say you can, the thing that once you start getting more skirmisher and warband options, it changes a little bit, because you get a broader menu of like choices that you can spread out with. And as soon as you do away with fire teams and you're not trying to build fire teams in vanilla, you can make a more versatile list. But you're right, all the sectorials are going to have this problem.
Yes.
Okay, now onto the remotes.
We can skip over all of the standard style remotes unless they have like a difference. And I don't think you do, except for.
So here's the cool thing about the remotes. You get 3 TR bots.
Yeah, you get 3 TR bots.
Which is cool. when you get three, there's only a few factions that have it.
And there's only one SWIC, which means you're looking at only three SWIC for three HMGs that are TR.
Yeah, three HMGs that are just like watching everywhere with 360 visors. Just like, it's just annoying to deal with.
If you sure do. Is. So
like going second, it's like, it's pretty cost efficient for how much you're going to slow people down.
And some factions really struggle. Like, there was a question in the mailbox that I don't know why Ash ignored, but it was around, how do you defend yourself against McMurro and the murder balls?
That was our episode topics one. Those weren't questions. That was a topic for a whole episode.
I just forgot then.
That's okay.
this is the answer. Just pour bullets at him. Like, yeah, he's going to smoke, but he can't block every line. And if you just put enough bullets on the field, they'll die.
Yeah, total immunes are immune, not immune to many bullets. That's the standard answer.
He's got a really good you're obviously afraid because you're going second, and so he's going to run at you. So he's going to have a really good hitter piece standing up in the open. But he had to deploy that before you deployed all of your machine gun pobots. And so you just face him with two and be like, yeah, you're probably a good gunfighter, but you're not better than both of us. There you go.
There you go. Yeah, you get a standard missile bot.
I really want to try this.
Of course you do. You get a standard missile bot. You get two standard four observer bots.
Yeah.
Then you get the long yeah, which is the discount Sunduck butt. And I love these guys.
They only get four deployment plus four.
What? This guy is nowhere like a Sunduck butt.
He's
like,
16 points.
They both have camo, I guess.
And he's 16 points. He's a little disruption 48. Piece. I love this guy. I he love him so much.
Three of these for the cost of the Sunduck butt.
Yeah, that's what I mean. We all there may be two, but you definitely take them every time.
Look, you get Panzerfaust plus one burst, you get a Flammenspear plus one burst, and then you can either choose between heavy shotgun or submachine gun, and you get AP mines. And then you get camouflage, surprise attack, immunity shot, courage, all that fun stuff. But it's just like, they're cheap for what they are, I think.
Yeah, cheap double mine layer. It's awesome.
And this is where I go again. That mine layer long ya is competing with the I got an explosive weapon beast hunter.
Yeah.
Why not both?
You could bring both for sure. I just like this guy's regular order and the other guy's not. And if I only have a few points left, I'll take the regular.
I love this guy. I think he's great.
Yeah.
I dig two every time.
I mean, it's a 40 mil base camo. There's no mistaking what it is, but you still gotta
deal with it.
You gotta still deal with it.
And it's got surprise deck.
You still gotta roll that discover, which you never want to do.
It's got disposable or expendable burst flamage spears with surprise attack. I love the fact that it has surprise attack flamage spears with big bursts. It's so great. Yeah. Burst two flamage spear.
And having played the trip hammer, which has like a similar Panzerfaust plus one burst and Flamish Spear plus one burst, and then with the heavy shotgun, it's like the same thing, but it's two less BS and it's like 30 less points or 37 less points or something like that. So it's just kind of like, it's cool. And with the surprise attack, yeah. And again, any four deployment is always so nice.
And their models are weird and hilarious, and I love them.
Yeah.
Little chicken bots. They're so weird.
They're just
people hate them, and I think they're great. I don't know why I love them so much. I love them because they're weird.
I want more weird robots. Marksmanship on it while it's a camo.
Yeah.
Goddamn right.
As long as you're in a repeater range.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
So that makes it.
Marksmanship, Flammenspear, Marksmanship, Panzerfaust are legitimate guns.
With surprise deck.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah!
You've also got access to a weird profile on your baggage bots. So your Penglings, which have the usual total reaction, combi rifle, repeater, Evo hacker, and deactivator repeater, or you can have an FTO with a light shotgun. Just a weird profile,
and it's a repeater.
And it's also a repeater, yeah. Just it's a weird profile baggage bot, but it means you have an FTO and it can hang out. I think it's a.
It can't join any of the links.
No, it exists for it's there. Other. It's
other factions. But it's just weird that it's in here.
Yeah, they just didn't remove it. But it's just like a it's a light shotgun bag. If you need baggage and you have a few extra points, I guess if you don't have the 0.5 SWIC and you don't have the three extra points, then I guess you go from the evil hacker down to the FTO. But
this guy is, I will see you in Invincible Army.
Yeah, I'll see you in a different faction where I want to bring back.
Where I become wild card linkable 12-point guy.
Yeah,
like, and I hang out with, I'll see you soon.
Hang out with somebody else.
So my favorite
thing, the Ludan.
Very good. The Ludwan or Ludan. I don't know, something.
It's Ludan.
It's
me. Right? Ludan.
So it's got hollow mask. It's got hollow projector. It's got multi-spectre visor. It's got surprise attack because of that, whatever. It's also got a mind layer deployable repeater. It's size 4, but it's like you make it a shell game of like, and it's like when it's fighting, it's a natural BS-12, which is great with a 6-4, and it's got an MK-12 and a heavy flamethrower +1 burst.
It can be support like wear too.
It's like you can support wear it. It's a decent little fighter, and you can make it a shell game, and then even if they discover it all, then it can pop back into the hollow mask. And because it's such big profile, when you put the other two base to base, you get like a free, like, I don't know, 2-inch movement to jump into cover or whatever, or around the corner. Like, it's pretty neat. I really like it. I don't know how it's going to look because I want to take two of them and just have all the size 4 bases. There's 55 mils everywhere,
right?
So, but then it's like, then you can start playing mind games with your opponents of like, yeah, it's kind of in the open, you can shoot it, or are you going to waste time shooting it? Is it a real one? If you just move past it, is it going to shoot you back? You don't know. And so all of a sudden you're wasting orders, or maybe you're not, you know.
It's a fun shell game. You're doing physical tokens for it too by printing them out. I think it's gonna be fun. It's a unique aspect of this army that you can have a bajillion size 4 mind sweeping Hall of Echoes.
Yeah. And then just below that, you get the Rishi, which is a very solid. You get a Spitfire, MSV2, repeater, BTS6, BS12 again. And it's, you can make all the Ludwans pretend to be Rishis. And so I have 3D printed just a bunch of proxies.
Throw everywhere, yeah.
I have 8 Rishis to put on the board.
So every Hollow Echo is a Rishi, basically.
Yeah, so I just have 8 Rishis. And then the shell game has reached a new level.
That's right. Like, only you know. You have to paint like a colored dot on the bottom so you know which one's which.
Oh yeah, I'm just going to like write it in.
It's funny though, because like this feature, like that investment for the Ludans and the Rishis is not that much. They're like 24 points for a very well gunned.
Yeah,
you can bring MSV. A very stupid. This is the other list that I made.
This is kind of like the cream letter list. Like your biggest problem is going to be finding a place for all of these bases.
I know, but that's the thing.
So the solution to that is, you don't need to. Because
only 4
half of them are bait.
Yeah.
Like,
oh no, I know. I'm talking about during your deployment. Like even just during deployment, trying to find a place for 6-8 size 4 bases is going to be a problem.
But you only need to put 4. You only need to put 4 out.
Sure, I guess. Yeah.
And then the rest of them can be, you know, just pretending, or they could be the real ones that are poking out that they're assuming are fake, and then you get free shots.
It does mean you can smoke out things like camouflaged hackers. Like there's a million things that these guys can do running through repeater nets with the hollow echoes, triggering mines, triggering deployables. Like you do not have a hacking or like camo net game against this many 6-4 size 4 markers.
And they're all BTS-6, which sure is really nice.
Well, and like even just like, if you move, because they don't know which one's which, and you're playing that shell game, you just push your first one through the repeater net, and they either reveal their hacker, right? Or they, like, even Sixth Sense doesn't work on these things, right? Because they're just troopers. So nothing stops them either being nothing or them not revealing or playing their hand for, like, a hidden hacker, and then you just get to slip by. So there's a lot of, like, legs for that play, I think.
Yeah, 100% I'm going to be doing the double Ludwan, double Rishi, 8 Rishi shell game.
I mean,
we're going to see how it goes. I've printed off all the models, so let's do it.
Sweet. We're in the skirmishers. You get Yazaz too, you get helper bots, but whatever. Yeah.
Relangs.
I would say this is, again, one of the best midfield utility pieces probably in the game. Relang's been around since first edition Infinity, since N1, and it's always been great. It packs everything you want a midfield skirmisher to pack. It's got MSV1, surprise attack, camouflage, dodge, plus 1 inch infiltration, mimetism, terrain total, and stealth. And then its profiles are just all super useful.
There's so many freaking deployable repeater mind layers in this faction.
Sure are. And not a lot of hackers.
I'm just like, wait, do I even want to put down these repeaters? Is this going to make me like more vulnerable? I was like, why do I want these repeaters now?
To stop things, maybe? Like, if you're going to do that cheapo Zanshi hacker link just to throw out spotlights. I don't know. I think you need to play into it. But yeah, you don't really need them. These guys are just good for what they do. The hacker. I think you take the hacker versus taking the deployable repeater. If you're going to take anything, pay 3 points more. And then you yourself are the repeater because you're in camo. So you can hide from getting killed.
Yeah,
and you can pop up and hack things.
Yeah, that or the forward observer.
Yeah.
Just because MSV, min infiltrator.
There's a lot of MSV in this list, which is also very nice.
A lot of MSV one. Yeah.
If you run into Albedo, you might be in trouble, but that's pretty rare. And then, yeah, the MSV one, min minus three combo, which is always so nice.
And then you get your ninja because they got rid of the JSA, took all their ninjas with them. In Kaldstrom, you got the Kunai Solutions ninjas, which are the ninjas that are still available for hire. There's only two profiles, so no more ninja hackers, none of that stuff, which you had access to in N3. Instead, now we have the Kunai Solutions multi sniper rifle and shock marksman rifle. They still are ninjas, so not great BS, decent martial arts. Surprise deck, camo, courage, hidden deployment, mim minus six because they're predators, total terrain, and climbing plus stealth, multi-sniper, shock marksman. I like the shock marksman. It's relatively inexpensive with forward deployment and can get to lots of vectors.
And forward deployment kind of gets you to this place where you can surprise somebody or someone can run past you, and then on your first move, you can get like in their rear arc, and then you can shoot them in the back, which helps your... And with a surprise attack, so it just helps kind of murder things.
This model can also be against some armies an infuriating go second suppression piece. You could be holding a corner with this piece forward deployed on suppression with a command token and just completely stop in advance.
Yeah, this guy, if you only wanted to bring one Hundun, you could just bring this guy. Like, yeah, he's not BS-13. He loses that BS, which is significant, but he inflicts even more by having the MIM-6.
Yeah.
And climb plus too, which means he's mobile.
Yeah. And he's off doing stuff. And he still has hidden deployment, but yeah, I think that this guy unfortunately kind of like overshadows the Hunduns.
I don't know, the MSV is really nice, and the MSV BS for the Hunter is really nice. I think they both have a place.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess you're littered in MSV. Like the MSV shows up all over the place in this faction. And so like I don't know if you'd need it, but I mean, why not? Right.
This is a hunting piece where the Hunden's a defensive piece. The Hunden's more of a sit back and hit and deploy and opportunity shoot. This one's like it's got climbing plus and go predator around and go kill stuff.
Yeah. Or they have an Albedo model and my other models are all getting unable to react to it. And it's like, I reveal this and I shoot you. And it's like, oh, okay.
Oh dear.
I have to fight someone who has a multi-sniper and MIM-6 and he's in good range and I am not. Yeah.
Yeah. Those are your only skirmishers though, which is very light for you, Ching, because they typically have quite a few. All right, warbands. We got two. We got Shaolin Monks and character Shaolin Monks. So first there's the NK. Who's a character Shaolin Monk
before?
And we did talk about him before.
He shines.
He does shine. He's because he's linkable and he can lead a fire team of Shaolin Monks and make them regular. So he's regular impetuous, martial arts 4, berserk, forward deploy 4, dodge plus 1 inch, dodge plus 3. So he dodges on 16s, mid minus 3, no wound in cap, stealth, super jump, religious, impetuous, chain rifle, light shotgun, flash pulse, pistol, explosive, close combat. He's only 21 points.
The problem with him is that he has no delivery system. But in this faction, you get the Shaolin monks that have the smoke.
And are 5 points.
And you, yeah, so for like 21 for him, and you can bring him with two Shaolins. That's
this 31 whole fire team's points. 31 points. Yeah.
31 points for a fun little Harris. And they can just walk up to the board themselves, throwing down smoke. And then because they're in a Harris, you get double chain rifles or even double smoke grenades, right? So it's just way easier to throw those smoke grenades.
Yeah.
So you're like, oh, I'm hitting on 16s
on two dice. Yeah, you get super reliable smoke.
Like so much more reliable, which is so annoying when you roll that like 17 plus, and it's gonna happen. It's just like, ugh. And so just reducing the probability of that by like so much with the two dice is so nice. And then, and you're gonna be, you have the smoke there to be able to offer all your MSV too, with like the if you're bringing the Rishis,
mm-hmm.
you can, you know, a nice
compliment them. Yeah.
Spitfire when they have to shoot back a minus six. It's really nice.
I think there's always some variation of a Shaolin Harris in this list.
I think so.
Or it's so cheap for allowing you to advance onto stuff and have that like have that versatility of like those smoke grenades and getting ready to go.
Yeah. It's a nice. And that's everybody.
That is it. That's it. That's the whole list. We did it. It wasn't so bad. So how'd you guys feel about writing some lists? Let's start with Owen. We'll end on Dan.
Okay. I wrote two lists for this. One I felt was much more of I'd play them both, but one that's much more reasonable, I suppose.
Sure.
Let's post it in the patrons chat here.
Do it.
So it's built around the Yi Maos because I liked them quite a bit. Yimao hacker, Yimao AP Spitfire, Yimao just generico multi-rifle chain called Panzerfaust, with Bishi and Kang Gao, who mm-hmm. has the plus one lieutenant order and the HMG. That can be a five-man team, or what I intended is that it'll be five-man team for the first turn if I need an HMG to knock over a heavy piece on the far side. But otherwise, Bishi and the Yi Maos are going off on adventures as my primary like hitting force. Mind layer deployable repeater with a little Zhangxi hacker just to have a little something going on. And then some Pangolangs just to get orders. Group two is a like mega efficient order group of Liang Kai, two Shaolins, and two Wei Bings. So it's five regular orders and two Takawares and a bunch of specialist Weibings that are getting my jobs done while the top group right. is just killing people. Reactive turn, basically group two stands up and just starts putting smoke down and group one hides, and that's the switch.
Got it.
So that you... Yeah, anyway, that's the thinking for that one. The other list is I took the robots to the logical conclusion.
First it.
Of course. This is it. 306 Swick, and it's 15 models. It is Rishi Spitfire, Rishi Spitfire, Ludan Mark 12, Ludan Mark 12, three TR HMGs, two TR combi rifle Pangolangs, little killer hacker for reasons. And then two of the Long Yaw mine layers, and then a Zhangxi lieutenant, another killer hacker, and I had 5 points left for a Shaolin.
Perfect.
And this is just dumb. Like I you could run into this and just die horrendously or completely shut it down. I have no idea what the outcome of this game would be because it's going to completely depend on the board. Like the fact that you could have five TR bots just staring down at every rooftop could be completely oppressive. In addition to a sea of we're all pretending to be Rushis, and then on top of that the four deployed mine layers and flammage piers and panzer fence, and then if you right. tried to play the hacking game against them, two killer hackers just for fun who are also going to pretend to be Zhangxi lieutenants. So it's like we're going to play a bunch of shell games all at the same time. Good luck everybody. I don't even know who's real now.
GG.
And a Shaolin monk to throw smoke grenades on my Rishi if he needs to do it on the active turn.
Exactly.
Anyway, that's all I got.
I like it. I only wrote one list. Mine is 5 Swick and 300 points. And it is all the fire teams in group one. So we've got Lee and Kay, a Shaolin, and a Tiangu FTO with a boarding shotgun and jammer as a Harris. Then my primary hitting pieces, a duo. We got Shang Jesus with Takaware APHMG, Tinbot Fireball minus six, hanging out with the Blue Wolf, because I swear I could make it work. you know me, I got to make it work. And then the four-man fire team, just for that sweet, sweet sixth sense, we got a Zanshi Lieutenant with a Zanshi Hacker, Beast Hunter FTO, and a Yisheng Doctor in case everything goes wrong. Then rounding out that group to 10, we have a Rishi. And in group two, we have a mech engineer with two Yowzows. They're there to unstick the Blue Wolf, fix him, or get the Shang-Chi back if he gets like isolated or something like that. Two repeater bots, so the Che-Ye Yao Kongs, a Long Yaman layer, and then a Shaolin monk to do exactly what you were doing and follow that Rishi around and throw smoke on him if you need to. So, and he's a backup. If one of the Shaolins dies, I could throw him into the Harris as well. So same kind of idea, jam the midfield. You've got two sort of scalpel-y hitting pieces, one that's up close and personal with the Liang K and the Shaolin and the Tiangu, who can also jam. And the other one covers all the range bands between the Blue Wolf and the Shang-Chi with Takaware. So double Takaware, there's four orders just sitting in there and they get to peel around, shooting either the long range AP HMG or the mid range Spitfire with five dice and just being super order efficient. The Hacknet's there to throw out spotlights more than anything else and potentially isolates, and that's it. The mine layer disrupts and protects the little four-man fire team. Leaning on the strength. Yeah, it's kind of this is like a greatest hits. So what about you, Dan? What'd you come up with?
So I managed to put Chief Zhang in my list.
Damn right you did. Damn right you did, Dan.
Dude, he's a linkable engineer, right? So I went the kind of the other way. I did all of the remotes. I got the five total reaction. I got just all of the stuff. But instead, to round out the list, instead of putting in the killer hackers, I have a Beast Hunter, Chief Zhang, and a Zanshi Lieutenant as a Harris. Or core or whatever. And so they're kind of just there, but then the Beast Hunter and like can kind of be a weird aggressive thing, but just like have that extra burst in the ARO, but also has the mind layer. And then Chief Zhang is has the gizmo kit and engineer. And so just being able to have that plus one burst in the gizmo kit and kind of just can walk around, and once they blow up all of my TR bots, I can just pop them all back up and then make you deal with them again.
I'm into it. That's so much bot though.
I know.
You love remotes. Your O12's showing. You love them so much.
I just want to lean into it, right? It's just like so crazy and they have so many cool remotes.
I just think it's so funny how that was your initial takeaway from Infinity. Took a faction that just loved remotes. Yeah, I know. you just love them. You just love the remotes and you're unwilling to leave them alone.
So the cool thing about the remotes is the remote presence. So it's like when you kill them, you gotta kill them and then you gotta kill them. And then if they're on rooftops with lips and they go down, you can't shoot them anymore. And then, you know, you get that.
Remotes are cool. You're right.
Yeah. You just get it back up and you're like, there's nothing worse than killing a TR bot. And then it gets back up and you're like, I got to deal with that four dice in a row. And then Chief Zhang, I mean, I do have like three heavy machine guns and like two Spitfires and all this stuff. But, you know, if they do have a big, crazy armor guy, the K1 combi rifle that's POW 14 is not bad, right? And then he'll have, you know, burst 4. So, you know, I think Chief Zhang is expensive, but just because he can link in this and he kind of fits, I think he's worth bringing.
I mean,
all the remotes. I don't have any killer hackers, though, so... You could just
the same thing. There's so few hackers that are worth taking in this list. I mean, there's a few that are worth taking, but there's not like a standout. I think the Gulang is a great hacker.
Yeah.
That's it. We did it. We did White Banner. How do you feel? Are you excited?
Like,
which of our lists will you make first? And the correct answer was mine, not Owen's.
Look, all I need is Chief Zhang and Azanchi, and I have this list. I have all the bottles.
Tremendous. One Zanchi and Chief Zhang. I'm sure you can find a Zanchi in somebody's bits box.
Go peak robot, Dan. Play
look,
the list.
I have them. I'm looking at them right now on my desk. I have 3 painted Rishi.
And, the only thing I say
and I have
is that
5 more.
Hiding those little killer hackers as extra lieutenants will solve the problem you've been running into where I keep killing all your lieutenants.
Maybe. I'll have to take a look. I like the engineer though, because tier bots, when they die, but then you just pop them back up and it's so nice.
But it's okay if they're dead because you have 4 more.
I know, but imagine if they just came back. They're so good value, like bang for your buck.
I suppose.
They're just so good anyway.
Yeah. We'll be fine.
Everything's great. Everything's perfect.
So anyway, that's White Banner.
I didn't even think of White Banner as like an option. I just didn't even look at him. But now just looking. I just was looking at the other cool options. I just caught my eye more. But the more I look at it, like I like, because the other ones, when I'm trying to bring all the remotes, we'll get into these, but they don't have the long yeah, which are the camo remotes that you could bring in your arsenal. And those I think bring a lot to the options. And it's just, it's good. I think it'd be super fun to play. I don't know how I'm going to deploy. Everything's just going to be everywhere, but I want to try it.
Definitely. I'm excited. Yeah. I'm excited to see you start playing Yuzhang.
Something new, right? And I know tons of people play Yuzhang, but no one that I know. So,
well, I played them at the first Tactical Awareness Tournament because I was the ringer and it was the prize. That's the last time I played Vanilla Yuzhang. I should paint my Yuzhang army.
I'm also pretty sure a lot of the stuff in your Yuzhang is the older stuff, and you haven't got too much of the crazy. I mean, Invincible Army is quite possibly my favorite army in Infinity that I don't collect already.
Cool.
And like, we get to talk about that one next, because it does everything that I love about this game, which is to say horrendously skewing into dumb shit. And it's so good at it, and you could just doing it. Like,
here's what's gonna happen. Just like with O12, Dan, you're gonna start playing this army, and then we're gonna talk about it a whole bunch, and then Owen and I will start the armies after you finish building the army.
I didn't collect O12.
I know you didn't. I did. You started collecting Aleph. We went in a circle. He did O12, then I did O12, then I did Aleph, then you did Aleph, and we just went in a big circle.
this is my problem. I'm gonna play Invincible Army, and I was gonna be like, you're doing it wrong.
Yeah, exactly. And then one of us has to like do it to like make a point or prove a point. This is the way this goes in this like this triangle of sadness we've created. All right. Well, I'm excited. So yeah, listeners, I'm gonna post a link to the mailbag in the description to this podcast. So go ask some questions for next week. And we will be back with, what did you say it was, Invincible Army next week? That's exciting.
That's the next
one. We get to listen to Owen gush about all of the madness that's possible here. And now that my profiles are sorted appropriately, we can have a proper conversation.
AVA 4, AVA 3, AVA 5, AVA 4, AVA 5.
They have so much heavy infantry, it's bananas.
It's like, let's lean into this AVA. Oh, there goes all my wings.
How much wang? Mo wang.
And for the mailbag, some people say there's no such thing as stupid questions, but there are. There's a lot of stupid questions, but we'll answer them anyway.
And you'll find, and yeah, that's right. And we'll discover what they are next week. All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. Bye.
Bye.